Morning, Garrett.
Good morning, Kat. Are you ready to record this podcast that we record?
I had the nicest dream. I was dreaming that I got to sleep in as late as I wanted, we weren't recording, and I could just enjoy my morning.
And then did, like, an evolution of Fan Beemon come in and tell you you had an important thing you needed to do and you need to wake up and something?
Oh, no, my alarm woke me up.
Oh. So, weren't it an illusion of an evil Digimon?
Not that I know of. And if it was, it was working.
Okay. Well, since you're here, do you want to record anyway?
Yeah, sure, I guess.
Cool. Hello, and welcome to Going Digital, a Digimon Rewatch podcast, where I'm Shin Garrett.
And I'm Kit Kat.
And, holy shit, we're done with O2 next week.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Wow. Cool. We're almost there.
Where has the 50 weeks gone?
I mean, I think that they went with us recording them, so you could, like, look at the website and it would be there.
Oh, what website? What website is that?
GoingDigital.com. Oops. No, I don't actually know. I just Google Going Digital and it always comes up.
Okay, so it's GoingDigitalPodcast.com. I do say it at the end of every episode, so I'm just a little disappointed.
I don't even know anybody's phone number anymore. I just Google stuff. Like, I get so upset when I have to reset, like, delete my history because I just expect Google or the browser to know where I'm going with a couple of keystrokes. So please don't feel offended. I just literally don't pay attention to anything.
Okay. Anyway, we watched episode 49 of O2 and Atmon this week.
We sure did.
Yep. So, I guess as per normal, we will talk about O2 first, because that's the thing that we've established over these weeks and stuff and things.
Yep. The O2 episode this time was called The Last Temptation of the Digidestined, or The Last Armor Evolution.
Yep.
Would you like me to recap this?
Yeah, sure. Did you see, did you hear, did you recap me this episode?
I did. Well, I will. So Malamiotismon, which makes him sound like he's got a marshmallow center. I don't know how to feel about that. But he's like getting defeated basically because because XVmon's doing a pretty decent job. So then he, like, sends out this illusion, and so they all have dreams about the things that they want happening, which is interesting, and I think we should talk about that. But they all end up breaking out of it because either the Digimon or, like, a form of Vmon come in and tell them that it's an illusion, and then they're mad. So then they get out, and they're in that weird dimension still, and so because they want to be powerful, all of their Digimon can, like, evolve into all the different types of things that they can evolve into. So then there's a huge army basically, like, attacking him, and they start to defeat him, and then he, like, moves into the digital world, and they follow him, and so only, like, the I forgot what they're called, but the one where they, like, mash
Jogress
together. Yep, that's it. The Jogress ones are the only ones left, and then he's super powerful and they're not really sure how to defeat him, and it's scary.
Yeah, that's pretty much what happens this episode. Spoilers for this week. I don't have much to say about either of these episodes.
Uh-oh. I do have things to say.
Okay.
First of all, I think it's the, I think the illusions were really interesting. They like kind of spoke to what the different characters want or like feel.
Right. I only think like a couple of them are good.
Well, TK misses his family, wants his family back together, which is like kind of standard issue divorced kid circumstances.
Right.
He just wants everyone to sit down and have a nice meal together and nobody's yelling. So, you know, kind of sad. But I feel for him because that does sound nice. And I didn't notice who was cooking. I guess they don't really show who's doing the cooking.
The cooking was already done.
Yeah, so that's good, too. He doesn't have to do the cooking. And then Yoli is shown to be kind of selfish.
I mean, I don't know if it's that. It's more just like she has a ton of siblings and just wants to be alone sometimes.
Well, not just be alone, but like to have her mom's full attention and to eat whatever she wants.
Right, I guess. I think that was just more in line with the wanting to be alone thing. I don't know if I necessarily peg that under selfish.
Well, maybe not selfish, more like indulgent. Like she just wants, she even says, well, in the English version anyway, she says, she knows she's going to have a stomachache later, but she just wants to eat everything.
Right. Well, I mean, yeah, the dub's going to take out some of the important stuff.
Yeah, context.
Context and things.
And then Cody's was really sad and sweet. He just wants to show his dad the digital world and make him proud.
Yeah, my headcanon for this is Cody just knew the entire time, but just wanted the moment, so went along with it anyway.
Oh, that's so, like, bittersweet and sad.
But I think it fits his ill-defined character better than what it... I just think it fits his character better. They didn't really even do anything different, because they don't really state either way.
Well, in the... dub, he seems to not know, but then he's like, okay. When his dad, like, floats off into space, he's like, oh, you left me again. Which would make me think that, like, he didn't know.
That's true.
He says he's gonna bring his mom to the digital world, which is, like, cool. But didn't we just go over how adults can't come to the digital world? So I'm not sure.
This gets broken like super instantly.
Okay. Oh, I forgot to mention that like when Hawkman comes in to tell Yoli that it's all an illusion, he sounds like he's judging her pretty hard.
in the dub?
In the dub, yeah.
Because in the sub it was less so.
Oh, in the dub he's like, is this really what you want? And she's like, well, yeah. And then she's like, well, I guess not. I just am always around my siblings. And he's like, do you not want to be around your siblings? And she's like, I guess I love them. And it's like, this doesn't sound like it. And then she calls herself a really big oinker, which I think because she was eating so much. It's like, maybe not.
Right. But, shit, I had a thought, and I completely lost it. Oh, I think Yoli's is, like, a good example of, like, teen, pre-teen life issue.
Wait, Kari?
No, Yoli. Did I say Yoli? Kari?
Yeah. I don't know what you said. I heard Kari. But, yeah. No, definitely. She's just a normal kid. She just wants to... You know, I mean, honestly, like, I'm an adult and I would be down with that illusion. That would get me.
Right. I guess the point I'm trying to make is I think it's interesting that it runs the gambit through, like, the scale of things.
Yeah.
And, like, I don't want to say that it validates it, but something...
That's what you're saying.
Hmm?
But that's what you're saying.
Yeah, I guess that's what I'm saying. I guess that I'm saying that all problems are problems.
Yeah, there you go.
This is my hot take.
You could make like a Dr. Seuss thing. All problems are problems. This I know. All problems are problems. And if you ignore them, they'll grow.
I mean, I honestly, that would be a really good book for kids. Someone should do that. That's not me.
Well, they should credit you because now it's your idea.
That's true. But, yeah.
Kari's, I felt like, was the weirdest one. I'm not sure exactly what she wants. She seems to just want to give people advice and sit outdoors.
I think she wants a world where Digimon and humans, cohabitat, coexist, and everything's hunky-dory.
Hunky-dory peach keen? Yeah.
Hikari's like, I want the world to be good.
That's fair. I mean, she's seen a lot of bad things.
Yeah, that's kind of just like what her character stuck with is that she never cares about herself, but rather the people and the world around her.
Yeah, typical woman socialized to care about everyone else. Tragic.
Right, and it's kind of a shame. Like, Hikari should have, like, a character. That'd be cool.
Yeah.
Though, I guess that's her character, but... Eh.
Well, and I just have a technical question. So, at the beginning, she's talking to Gatomon, and she's in this illusion, and Gatomon seems to be going along with it. And then later, Gatomon comes in and is like, it's all an illusion. Myotismon does this. And then it's kind of like, cool, but like, were you also fooled or not? Because she's like, they did it to all the Digidestined, and, you know, we're trying to wake you up. And it's like, I'm not clear on if she was a victim of it also or not.
I'm going to base mine off this up because it is a better one. But I think that all the Digimon did knew, because it was always the Digimon that kind of said something that brought them out of it. And then, like, either Davis or Avimon Evolution would come in afterwards.
Yeah. Yeah, that part was, like, as an experience of watching it, was confusing. I'm like, wait a second. There's more than one of them, clearly.
Right. But yeah, I'm on the fence about Takari's. Like, I don't know if it's more like I wish they did something else, or I wish her character was better to inform that they do something different.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think in general, her character has gotten the short end of the stick. She's just she's just the one who senses the darkness. And
yeah, she's almost like not even a character because of all that extra, like, weird light shenanigan bullshit.
Yeah.
Like, Hikari is just kind of like the one that God sometimes possesses and went to the dark ocean that one time.
Yeah, and even in here, when Myotismon starts sending the darkness stuff, she, like, it's like a migraine trigger for her. She's like, oh no, I sense the darkness coming. It's like, oh.
Yeah.
Should probably go to a neurologist and avoid the darkness because migraines are unpleasant.
Yeah, like, Hikari kind of got stuck with, like, the being the special of the special children and has, like, the weird darkness possessed by Digigod thing.
Which they don't even, like, explore that well, which is what annoys me.
They still don't to this day.
Yeah, like, why are you putting this in here if you're not gonna actually explore it?
And Try took an attempt, but...
I don't know that yet.
Yeah, it was in, like, the last movie or the second to last movie.
The only movie I remember, and possibly the only one that I saw as a kid, I think I only saw one.
Well, no, these were the new ones.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, the recent ones.
Okay. Yeah, which I watched with you, partially?
Yeah, some of them.
Yeah. I tried to finish them, but then didn't, because, I don't know, it was hard.
That's fair.
I am tired a lot now. I'm surprised that, none of them wanted to sleep, because they've been doing so much recently, but I guess they're kids, so they have a lot of energy.
Right.
But, like, Ken, poor Ken, man. He doesn't even get a good, wholesome illusion. They didn't even, it couldn't even be like him with his family and his brother's alive and everybody's happy, you know?
I think Ken's is the best one.
Really? I felt so bad for him.
Yes, which is part of why I think it's the best one.
Oh, you mean like narratively the best?
Yeah, narratively, I think Ken's is the best one.
Okay. Would you like to explain why?
Well, because I think it's most consistent with his character. Like, I think this kind of closes his arc, but it kind of closes his arc, even though I think his arc should go on and he should get help. But,
they only have one more episode, so.
Yeah, no, it's not going to happen in the series. So I'm hoping, like, I'm going to headcanon some post-series stuff happened, and he went to a psychologist, showed him the digital world, and was like, all right, so here's what happened. But what actually happened is Ken gets to see himself as a Digimon Emperor tied up to a dark tower, but it's kind of different. I guess it's kind of just like a giant spike off the ground, but whatever.
Yeah, he's Jesus, more or less.
Like. Yeah. And all the Digimon berate him and attack him until his glasses come off. And then his brother picks them up and is like, you've done enough to atone for yourself. This isn't what you deserve anymore. And it kind of gives him some closure on that, which I think is a good thing. Because like Ken's arc, since like stopping becoming the Digimon Emperor, has been consistent to this point, and I think that's why this works so well.
Mm.
Because we've kind of just been building to this the entire time.
Yeah, I'd say so. It's weird to me that it occurs in this illusion, and then he's upset about it, even though it kind of gave him closure. Like, he's like, how dare you use my brother? Which, like, I totally get, but then it's also like, thanks, now I feel free. I don't know. It's like an imaginal exposure where you like imagine something happening that you need to do.
Right. Like, I think it falls a little flat with it being the illusion part. Like, I'm trying to think how I would change it around to have it fit better. Like, in the end, like, I'd have Wormmon give the speech instead of his brother. But I don't know what I'd have his brother do instead.
I don't know either. The problem I had with this is that the others are getting the thing that they want. And Ken, if what he wanted was to be forgiven or something, like to be excused, I feel like there are other ways to do it that would be more of this like bouncy, happy, wholesome illusion business.
I don't think what he wants is a bouncy, happy illusion, though. I think part of it is that he, like, it's not maybe not a conscious desire, but like he wants to be punished for what he did.
Yeah, I guess I can see that. That's a little dark for a kid's show.
Yeah. Yes, it is.
Yeah. I don't know how I feel about that, because it, like, I know that Ken feels responsible and is having a hard time dealing with that. But then you would think that Myotismon's illusion, I just feel like that's a little too good, you know? If Myotismon is a bad man with a marshmallow center, he should be making, like, illusions that are sickly sweet. Like, although, to be fair, like, the others didn't wake up on their own. Someone had to come and wake them up. So maybe he is actually really good at these illusions and they're more realistic than we know.
Right. Also, I mean, like, they're all 12. Like, what's the complexity that their illusions could be?
No. I think you're shading on these 12-year-olds a little hard.
I mean,
these are battle-hardened 12-year-olds, though. That's the thing. Like, they've seen some shit, Garrett.
Sure, I guess. But, like, all the rest of them are pretty simplistic, so I think I think I've, from the context of the other kids, I think I can say that.
Well, and that's the thing, though. Then Ken's is the only one that's, like, more complex and not just, like, happy emotions.
Right. Because he is a messed up child.
Yeah. And then... And then Davis doesn't even get one. Like,
nope.
Davis has no hope of anything good ever happening.
Well, no, he's so content with what's going on right now that he doesn't get one. Davis is too dumb to get one. Is what I just lead that to believe.
It's so tragic. Like, he's just trying his hardest, y'all. And I honestly like. I think it's because he's being mistreated at home, and so his hope for happiness is, like, not even real. This is his happiness, like you're saying, like, getting to be with his friends, doing something valuable, being seen, you know, and like, being a part of a group is all that he wants.
Right. And, man, there's the one point where he's like, I'm consent. I have my family, my friends, my Digimon. I'm just like, ooh, about that family, though.
Yeah. No, he may not have realized yet how bad it is. He's going to have a long, long therapy road ahead of him.
Probably.
Okay, so then they all get popped out of these illusions. Well, also, I do want to say, I think this means Ken grew a bit. Because I bet you if this happened in the beginning of the series, he would have been all about Kari. Like, his illusion would have been, like, them spending time together.
You mean Davis?
Huh?
You mean Davis?
Yeah, Davis's illusion would have been about Kari being into him.
That's true. I think Davis is secretly one of the best kids.
He just needed a chance to, you know, grow.
Like, I think, like, Ken's probably the best out of them all, like, narratively. And then I think Davis is second.
Yeah. The other kids haven't popped yet.
And then, boy, after Davis, I'd probably go Yoli. And then just the rest three, the other three are tied. I don't think I could rank TK, Hikari, and Cody.
Yeah, I don't know. They kind of got they're like just there. They have traits, right. And that's it.
I guess Hikari would be slightly above TK and Cody, but between TK and Cody, I don't think I could go either way.
Yeah.
No, I take that back. I can do Cody over TK.
Oh wow!
Because Cody gets his grandfather stuff.
Yeah, TK doesn't really get anything. He just kind of exists. He's the, you know, the silent supporting character.
Right. Do you agree with my list?
I think so, yeah. I still like TK. Some of that's holdover from being a child that I just really like TK. But I also think that his support of Kari when she was going through kind of hard times is admirable. It's all the character development that he gets, and it's not even development, he kind of just already does that,
right?
So they were like, oh, he's got some character already, we just stop there.
Yeah. So yeah, those were all the dreams. I guess maybe I do like them better and had more to say than I thought about them originally.
Yeah,
I don't know. I want to find a better way to articulate how I like that we kind of go through the gambit and severity of problems, but that, I don't know how to do that.
I mean, that sounded articulate enough.
I don't know, but like I feel like I'm having an issue explaining like how like we had both like say like Yoli's thing, which is pretty just like it's like I want to be alone, eat cake sometimes, and then we have like Ken's or Cody's on the other side, and that both of those are valid in their own ways, even though like the context and like the not the deepness, but like the sadness, tragicness, I can't think of the word I'm looking for, are different.
Yeah, I mean, but they've both lost someone close to them. at a young age. So they're a little different than... Yeah, it's almost... It's kind of interesting. It's almost like the level of trauma they've experienced is reflected in there. Because then you see, you know, like, TK, Yoli, they're kind of just... They've had some adversity in terms of, like, divorce or growing up with a lot of siblings, and so you don't get a lot of time to yourself, that are kind of what we'd consider normal levels of adolescent stress. Kari's right. got some fucked up other stuff going on, so she just wants, like, a peaceful moment to herself.
Right. I think part of it, too, is just... Also, me personally is just coming to terms that, like, you're also allowed to have problems, even though it seems like everybody's are worse.
Yeah, totally. That's a good lesson to take from this.
Right. So I guess that's why I'm stuck on it.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so then they get broken out of these illusions, and they all are kind of annoyed about that. Which I would be also.
Yeah, I mean, if you're broken out of a nice thing, but, like, you know, gotta save the world.
Yeah. But then there, so then all of the Digimon are able to evolve into all of their forms. And I just wonder, like, what is it like to be multiple beings at once? Are they like Naruto's shadow clone things? Oh, I hope that's what that's called. Or are they actually all thinking, feeling beings? Do they hear each other's thoughts? Like,
I have no clue, and I'm surprised you made a Naruto reference. That was really weird.
Why?
I don't know. I never knew you saw Naruto or knew anything about it.
I was an adolescent in the early 2000s, late 2000s. I think everybody saw that. It's a cultural touchstone.
Is it?
I mean, it was for the group of people that I was hanging out with, perhaps.
Okay. That's fine. Sure.
I mean, certainly it wasn't a large contribution to my own life, but...
But yeah, I don't have an answer for that. It's just magic, not digital world place.
Yeah, it's interesting. And then they just, like, disappear. Also, they show a shot when they're killing... Or they think that they're killing Myotismon. Malomyotismon, that the flower kids are awake.
Right. I think they were always... Well, yeah.
Well, in the beginning, they were, like, all passed out. We were not sure if they were dead or not. And now they're, like, cheering and alive. And then they go to the digital world, and I didn't see if the kids went with them.
I don't think they did. They might go through next. Like, we'll know more next week, probably.
Yeah, I sure hope they don't get left in that place. That would be kind of sucky.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then everybody's, like, backhandingly praising Davis, which is kind of rude, you guys. And they just continue to be so surprised.
But also consistent?
Yeah, yeah.
See, again, this is why, like, Davis is, like, the second best kid. Which, boy, that's so weird to say.
Yeah, you were not his biggest fan in the beginning.
No, he was a little shit in the beginning.
You've grown too, Garrett. Look, aw.
Sure. Okay.
Yeah. And then it was a solid cliffhanger type of dealie there.
Yeah. That's pretty much it.
Yeah. You want to tell us about Atmon?
Yeah, we can talk about Atmon. Let me make sure I don't have anything else to say about O2. My notes are even pretty sparse for this. Nope, not really. Oh, like the weird plan to, like, merge the two worlds into a dark world is, boy, that's sure a line of dialogue.
Yep.
That's all I got, though. I can talk about Atmon now. Atmon this week, though, is, as I turn to look at my other monitor to see what the episode title is, so my volume's going to sound quiet for a second. I'm also going to say a lot. But it's Miraculous Final Evolution, The God Atmon Descend. And, boy, what does happen this episode? Not not, I don't know, it felt like it went by super quick. It probably didn't help that, like, I watched, like, half of it, had to leave, and then came back and finished it.
Oh, yeah, that would do it.
Okay, but, so basically, what's happening is, Rebootmon, Revive, some, Yujinsmon is starting a thing to bring back Leviathan, and there's, like, a timer progress bar thing, and then it's starting to eat people from the real world and bring them into the digital world and then kill them, question mark? Unsure. They turn into binary data, which is not what the human application project was sold as before.
Yeah.
That's happening. Haru's depressed this whole episode.
Well, towards the end, he gets a little less. He gets, like, a purpose.
Right, yeah. I have issues with that. Haru was mostly depressed throughout this episode. In the end, it seems like he sees his Yujin, or his Yujin in the evil Yujin, which kind of pushed him out of it, which I don't like narratively, but we'll get there. And kind of resolves himself to choose his path with Gatchaman to maybe finally ascend to God level. He doesn't do it this episode. The rest of the kids do this episode, and they go and fight Deusmon, and it's really pretty. And that's... Oh, and then the progress bar does fill up, and then a giant Leviathan shows up in the real world and then shoots all the kids back to the real world with their Digimon there as well. So he maybe, like, merged, like, the AR world to the real world, so it's all, like, physical now? Like, undetermined, but that's what it looked like. I think that's kind of the episode. There's a weird thing where, like, Yujin seems like he's pushing Haru to get to his God Digimon, which I wonder what's going on with that. It seems like there's some plan there.
Yeah, but, we'll find out.
That's, maybe. I think that's the episode. Did I miss anything?
I don't think so. We're gonna dissect it anyway, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they start kidnapping. Well, so he sets Leviathan to reboot, which I guess is rebooting him into the real world. Is that what we're implying?
Yes. That's right, it was Rebootmon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I guess.
And then yeah, in the interim,
maybe, like, the whole world was being rebooted? I don't know.
Well, they're still in the...
But when the reboot occurs, it shoots them out to the real world.
Mm, that's true, yeah. Maybe it just kicked everybody out.
Except Haru, though, but he's in the dark web, and the other kids were in the surface web, so maybe the difference was there. Don't know.
Yeah, I'm not sure either. Well, and Yujin keeps making comments about how he needs to get... How Haru's being difficult, and he needs to get him out of there.
Right.
So maybe they're trying to push him all out of the, you know, the web.
Right. Like, yeah, Yujin seems to be pushing Haru, and I don't know why.
Yeah, I'm not sure what the plan's supposed to be either. It's interesting.
Yeah. I mean, the other kids don't really do anything. They kind of just fight Deusmon for a bit, and we see the god Applemon.
Yep.
Which are fine.
They watch a bunch of people being put into a salad spinner and murdered, which is kind of awful.
Right, yeah, they turn into data. Hopefully they can fix that.
Well, they were, like, kind of screaming and yelling like it was felt unpleasant, so...
Yeah, hopefully they can fix that.
Yeah, that would suck. And then at some point, at least it's translated as Eri saying, cut the bullshit, when she's talking to Deusmon, which I think she must be really upset. I'm like, I've never heard her curse before.
Yeah, good for her.
Yeah, she's not like me where she just thinks those are normal words that she can use in a sentence.
You used to never be like that, though.
I know. I grew up, Garrett. I was like 18 or something. Just trying to be a polite young lady. And now I'm like, nah.
You were in your 20s and still not doing it.
Okay, that's fair. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure you didn't legit like start bringing that stuff in until you were about 30.
Wow. I don't know. I think it was a couple of years before that, but it wasn't far off. Yeah, that's true. I'm making up for lost time now.
Okay, that's fair.
I have a quota to meet every day. I found the godmon of the kids to be annoying because they're mixing Greek and Roman names, and it's, I don't know why. I don't
know
why
they sound cool.
They picked these three. Well, why does Uranus sound more cool than Kalismon? Kalismon, I guess is what it would be.
I'm not sure. I do like that, like, there's a consistent like design scheme between all the Godatmon. Like, they all have like that gold and silver color scheme to them, which I think is neat.
Yeah, they seem like they were all cut from the same cloth, so to speak.
Yeah, I think it just looks cool. I think I like the Dokomon one best, and I swear that's me not being biased.
Yep.
No, seriously, I swear. You cannot believe me, but I thought it looked the neatest.
I kind of zoned out while they were fighting, because that's not my favorite part, so I don't remember who's who.
Poseidonmon?
Oh, yeah, right. Wait, who are the other two, then? I bet Hadesmon is Hackmon, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
I didn't write down their names. I just wrote down their powers.
Yeah, it's Poseidonmon, I guess. Uranusmon and Hadesmon.
Yeah. I mean, I think Hadesmon is probably, like, the most boring one, because it's like, oh, it's a dragon. Okay. Like, Poseidonmon is, like, a sumo Poseidon dude. The Aster one is, like, a weird, like, cloud god dude.
Yes.
Who's totally feeling it.
With that tiny, weird, round head.
Yeah.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah, and then, so their fighting feels kind of pointless. And I think that Ray is picking up on that. And he even says, like, why are you showing off? And Astra's like, why not? And it's like, oh, maybe because you're trying not to get murdered. You're doing something important. Maybe you should.
Right. Yeah, I don't know.
There was a point where something that they, like, are fighting and something flashes up on the top of the hill. And they don't cover what that is. So I have a feeling later we're going to find out that was something. But I don't know what.
Right. Yeah, like, most of their stuff is kind of just, like, they're fighting. Deus Man splits into three, so they each fight one. And they
very
mostly...
conveniently. Like, why did he split into five or six? That would have been better for him.
Yeah, I don't know. They mostly win, though, so it's fine or whatever. And then, like, the back half is kind of just Haru stuff.
It's Haru getting over, or, like, coming to terms with what happened with his friend, which, like, frankly would be... pretty hard on a person emotionally. Like if I found out that you were a robot after 12 or 13 years of friendship,
I have something to tell you.
Yes?
I'm a robot.
Are you an evil robot?
Undetermined.
Oh, that's not good.
I'm actually chaotic neutral, so I'm just going to flip a coin later.
That's probably scarier than actually knowing what your motives are going to be. Like, Eugen, at least his motives seem to be pretty clearly doing the evil bidding of Leviathan.
Yeah, so that's interesting how you read it, because I did not read it as Haru getting over his issue.
What did you read it as?
I read it more as he's doubling down.
Well, I think his issue is that, I'm assuming what you're referring to is the fact that he... goes back to, okay, no, there is a real Eugen, and he's in there, and I just have to find him.
Yes.
I can see that. I took it as, like, he he's depressed because he thinks it was meaningless and he doesn't have a reason to move on because he's convinced that, okay, so like I had a partner once and I thought that they were cheating on me because of some evidence that I found. And that's how I felt. How Haro is like, how do I trust anything? How do I move on from this? Like, I don't understand. And the resolution was that I figured out that they weren't cheating on me. I've had other relationships where that didn't happen. But the time that it did, it was still a resolution. Like, that's essentially what Haro's going through, is that his best friend, possibly love interest, suddenly isn't the person he thought that they were, and he's thrown for a loop. And so then he's like, but I believe this so hard, I can't, you know, can't resolve this idea that it's not true. What does that mean about me? And the solution is, oh, no, wait, actually, he is there. I'm going to continue to believe in him.
Right. I guess I don't like that resolution.
Well, it kind of sucks that he can't stand on his own two feet and be like, I'm still a person.
Right. That's my issue with it. Like, I don't like that the catalyst for it is possibly, oh, Yujin's still there. Like, I wish it was more Haro coming to terms with that and it just stopping at the, my experiences were still experiences that happened, even, you know, even if Yujin was a robot or whatever.
Yeah. It would be an interesting philosophical question too. Like,
I think there's a weird like dependency thing with the way they did it that I don't like.
Okay, that's fair. Yeah, I can totally see that. I think it's not the best writing ever. I think you could go either way and have it well written, and it would be interesting and acceptable. But it definitely is not. It is very much like, we're going to fix this by it not being a problem. And also, yeah, like, Haru can't survive without Yujin. Which, like, when you're a child, they really sell you on this, it's romantic to be super codependent thing. It is not. And we should not be supporting that. And here they go again, being like, I can't live without the one that I love. Like, yes, you can. It sucks. It really sucks. But you can do it.
Yeah, and, like, maybe the show will do something with it, because, I don't know, like, to me, it also read, like, that Yujin's just fucking with him.
Oh, really? I thought it was more, like, real Yujin, quote-unquote, is in there somewhere. And
no, I didn't read it like that, because I read it as Yujin is on purpose doing that to push Haru.
Oh, I could see that. Yeah, that's true. I hadn't thought about it like that. Maybe I was just reading into Haru's side of it too much.
Because, like, Yujin, and I kind of base it off, like, the crying scene from last episode, where Yujin's just like, yeah, I can do this.
Well, either those things are happening, and bad Yujin is trying to use them to his benefit, good Yujin's trying to break through, or bad Yujin is tricking Haru, which would be really interesting. I would guess, judging by the quality of the rest of the writing, that unfortunately it's the first one, not the second one. But it would be really interesting if he just keeps doing this and Haro eventually has to be like, okay, well, I'm moving on without you. Like, you weren't who I thought you were.
Right. Which, man, that I'd like that solution better if Haro did that, but that's not really the case right now.
Yeah, I have a feeling they're not going to do that.
Also, again, like, I've kind of said it a couple times or hinted at it, but, like, I think, like, Yujin's pushing for Haru to do something because there's something that he's needed for still, mm-hmm. and that's being pushed against. So I guess that having that be a thing is kind of taking away from Haru's emotional beats here. But, like, you know, like, maybe with the other episodes that fixes that, like, we don't really have, like, a complete eyesight to this. It's kind of just we're looking at it from this episode so far, and maybe this kind of fixes it later on.
Yeah. I'm not sure either. I suspect that they're not gonna fix it very well, but I hope they surprise us. I'm just keeping my expectations low so I'm not horribly disappointed.
Yeah.
And I also wish that they would do something where, like, Offmon won't do things that are bad. Like,
so, like, when Yujin tells Revivemon to kill Haru, there's a couple times where Revivemon pauses for a second. I don't know if you caught on to that.
I didn't, no.
Not Revivemon, Rebootmon.
Yeah, I knew what you meant, but yeah. That's interesting. I didn't catch that.
So there's that, which part of me is like, ah, fuck, there actually is a real guy in there, and that's gonna actually be a thing, which I don't think it's a good choice.
Yeah, also, like, I was hoping that what was gonna happen, if there was a good Yujin, is that while he was rebooting Leviathan, he just turned him off or something, and that was the end of that. But they won't do that.
Right, so, that's fine, I guess. I don't know. That's kind of what I think. Not super into the Haru stuff this episode. And like,
yeah,
when he's like getting ready to do his God Atmon thing, which like it ends right before he does it, the question changes to, you are a protagonist, and don't think that's actually earned from this moment, but
yeah.
Because again, because of the dependency thing. But that's how I read it. It could possibly be meant as something way and meant for me to read it a different way.
You're just a strong, independent boy, Garrett, and you don't need no android best friend to save you.
Dude, I love the fuck out of an android friend.
Even if they were evil?
Maybe, like, do I get the choice to be evil with them?
Do you want to be evil with them?
I mean, it depends what the end goal is.
I mean, the end goal is evil, so...
Right, but, like, what kind of evil?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure. What would be acceptable evil?
Stealing from the rich?
That's not evil, though.
I mean, in the fact that theft is a crime, it is.
I mean, but... Crimes are made by laws. Laws are not morality.
Okay, I guess I meant evil in the sense of laws.
Oh, okay. Okay. So, you want, like, the newscasters will call you evil, but you're just gonna be, you know, punching Nazis and whatever.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay. Cool.
Yeah, maybe I'll get, like, some sweet power armor or something, and, like, I'm probably pretty easy to just convert.
What would make you less easy to convert?
I don't know.
Do you mean like physically into another robot, or do you mean like emotionally, morally into these quote unquote crimes?
Oh no, the first one.
Okay.
I guess. I don't know. This has turned into a really deep question at this point when I was just goofing.
okay, so then as...
I mean, there's a whole lot of things where it's just like, this would never happen, so like, what would be the cool thing to do narratively? Like, I took this to the point of like, if I was role-playing myself in a tabletop game and I was offered the chance to join an android that was previously my best friend for doing stuff, would I take this?
And the answer is yes.
Well, the answer is probably maybe. I mean, because there's like the thing though. It's like, if you're offered like super cool sci-fi stuff, or your normal boring life, like that's not a fair choice.
Like, I don't know. You wouldn't be anxious about going to do the sci-fi stuff? Or, like, about leaving your job and, like, are they going to fire you if you're not there? Like, who's going to pay your bills?
See, there's also, like, a lot of detail thing that would be needed, too.
Yeah, you're off gallivanting about the universe and nobody's paying the power bill at home.
See, I'd have to be like, what it'd turn into is the session, this tabletop session in my head, would turn into a contract being written. To cover all this, and then that's just what that would turn into.
I mean, contract with who?
the evil, quote unquote.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I don't know if you quite understand if these are like leftists who want to, you know, steal from the rich and punch Nazis and whatever, that are your evil that we're talking about here.
Well, no, because that's good.
Well, but not according to the crime thing. They're stealing and punching people.
I guess that's true. Part of it is just like cool sci-fi stuff versus boring and normal life where those things can't happen. So like in this metaphorical choice, not metaphorical, imaginary, whatever, in this word choice, it is trying to do the separation of like of cool like things that couldn't possibly happen to normal stuff, because like why wouldn't you take like the cool stuff that like wouldn't exist in your normal world?
I mean, lots of people choose not to do the more exciting, interesting things every day because they're scary or, you know, too far out of their comfort zone.
See, that's the thing, but 99% of the, I won't say that much, probably more than half the time, doing the thing is better than not doing the thing.
I feel like you need to write this down and refer back to this later.
No, I consciously think of this and do it, just not in giant leaps and bounds.
Interesting. Back to Apmon. When Leviathan comes back online, a bunch of messages pop up, and one of them says hell_O?
Yeah. Hello.
I didn't catch all of them. It was interesting, but it was kind of cute to have little programming jokes in there.
Right. That one was a programming joke? I didn't get it.
Like, hello world?
Oh.
I thought, anyway. I don't know if it was.
Oh, yeah. I could see that.
But it's like, hell, oh, because he's bad.
Yeah.
And then he refers to them as the chosen children.
Yeah.
Which is interesting.
Oh, yeah, it's a Digimon show.
Right. But they haven't called them that before.
I think they have, actually.
Oh, have they? Oh, maybe I just...
Or maybe in the context of, like, the children chosen by Minerva.
Oh, okay, yeah. I guess they just never quite said that. At least that I caught before, but who knows. I thought it was a big reveal.
Right. Again, that was pretty much the episode.
Yeah. Which one did you like better this week?
O2, I think.
Yeah, same. It was better.
Yep, I agree. So we have an email.
Yep. What is it?
Well, so Fletch, friend of the show Fletch, sent us an email in response to our mental botany discussion from last time.
A new one?
Okay. Yes. Yes, it's new. So I'm just gonna read this here. So Fletcher says, "Hi, it's easy to forget that sometimes for all my madness, my actual trained field is that of a psychologist. And let me tell you, quote, reading people's issues in the form of flowers, end quote, is nowhere near the strangest way we're represented in media. Unlike physical health professionals, where you can see the effects of treatment or symptoms, a lot of public belief about us via portrayals is that we're one of the following. Manipulative shits, probably bisexually so. Quacks who make up things for high cost and/or who just tell you shit you never listen to your friends and family saying anyway. Fucking wizards, in all caps. And, pill-popping and pill-pushing lunatics who are in the pocket of, uppercase, Big Pharma. Also, Monkey's Paw Cat Talk about there not being enough shows about the field. Fox did a knockoff of House at one point, simply called Mental. It lasted a single season and sucked so bad, and is really only memorable for the episode titled Manic at the Disco, about an autistic boy who saw the entire world as a video game where, I don't know if that's supposed to be Donkey Kong, but there's an L in it instead of a K.
I'm sure it's supposed to be Donkey Kong.
Okay, I'm gonna hope it's Donkey Kong, and, pterodactyls, not pterodactyl, what's the dinosaur name that starts with the P, P-T-E?
Oh, whoops.
You know, this one that I'm sending to you in Discord.
Yeah, that's Pterodactyl.
Oh, I was fucking on it. We're out to kill him on a lava world. There is neither Mania or a Disco. And then in parentheses, runner-up, also Fox, was the show about effectively reading people's minds via micro expressions, which again isn't caps, which was slightly more grounded but had a much larger asshole lead.
I'm sorry, a much larger
asshole lead.
Asshole. Okay. Yeah.
Sorry, I got like the hiccups in the middle of that. It was really weird.
Ew, because Fletch makes you nervous? Is that the...
No, because I just got the hiccups in the middle of it.
Yeah, I guess I was hoping for shows that would be good. And also, the pill-popping, pill-pushing thing is so interesting to me because in most places, there may be places where this is not true, but psychologists are not licensed to prescribe medication. Only psychiatrists are, because psychiatrists are medical doctors. They get an MD, whereas psychologists have a PhD and are focused on therapy, which is equally valuable and honestly, in my opinion, more helpful. Like drugs, you can take them and they can make big changes, and that's good. It's not that they're bad. It's just that when you stop taking them, it goes away. Whereas therapy changes the structure of your brain and you walk away with skills that you learned. So a lot of times you need a combination of both.
Right. So the way it was described for me recently was that the doctor, and maybe I just misinterpreted it because that's entirely possible, is that therapists are for talking and psychiatrists are more for being prescribed.
Yeah, no, that's pretty accurate. I mean, psychiatrists are also able to give therapy. They just frequently don't. It sort of depends on the individual person. But it's an unfortunate thing for psychiatrists who come out of med school really interested in, psychology, essentially, of people, but then end up just being, you know, prescribers of medication and really not interacting with people too much, which is unfortunate. But they can make good money, so that's good, I guess.
Yep.
Thank you for your email, Fletch.
Yes. Thank you for emailing us. Hopefully I didn't butcher it with my horrible reading.
And would you like to hear a haiku?
I feel like I have to do that other stuff. Like, we're a podcast on that in the internet at goingdigitalpodcast.com, where there is a link to our email, our Twitter, I think, and you can rate and review us on iTunes. You can email us. I said that's on there. I think that's pretty much everything.
Cool.
You can haiku me now.
Okay. Everyone in shock. Stupid is as stupid does. Davis saves the day.
Davis did save the day. The Digivolution will not be manipulated.
Okay.
Good time.
Goodbye.
And stop.